I'll be brief. I came onto these grounds 65 years ago in 1951. 9 years old, was a hopeful, faithful, valiant gray heart down at the palace. Came on staff over the years, been here. In fact, you know, I do have a very unique, prized remembrance. I belong to the glorious association of the excavator of the wet garbage pit. Before they had the regular garbage service, they would take the wet garbage from the dining room and everything like that, and they would save it, and then we had a pit out there by the parking lot. And did you notice how wonderful the flowers were around the front of the Pilgrim's Rest? They had the gorgeous flowers. Well, they would take that the wet garbage and they'd let it simmer, compost. Yeah, they put lime in it and so forth and so on. And so when the Lord spoke to my heart to come up to camp, I went to see Brother Gordon, and it was late in the season. I think it was maybe it was June or something like that when I came, and I approached Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline about me coming up to camp, and they started to laugh. He said, "Richard, God told me 3 months ago to hold a place for you." And so he had a place for me. And so when I came up here, and this is part of camp, this is part of what happens here at camp, one of the first jobs I had was to dig out the wet garbage pit. I put on these waders, and we took the boards off, and I slid into this compost with the maggots and the worms and a thousand leggers and everything imaginable, and it wasn't easy. I dug that thing out, and years later I asked Brother Gordon, you know, here I was ready to go to Bible school, I was going to be a minister, and I when I got to camp, sure, you had some good job for me to do. And that was my good job, is digging out the wet garbage pit. And we had a good conversation about that. But it was part of the training. It was part of the training that you get here at Pilgrim Camp. He the Lord laid something on his heart that needed to be done in my life, needed to be accomplished in me. And that was part of it in that aspect. But that year, it was 1961 that I came and was on the staff and was involved in the ministry here. And I was on August 24th in the service. I hadn't received the baptism, and in the Assemblies of God, you can't be a minister unless you're spirit-filled, unless you speak with tongues. And I had not received the gift. I'd sought for it, but it hadn't come my way. But that night on August 24th, I was sitting just about over there. Sister Wanamaker was in the green chair, where that thing has been forever, it seems. And we just was praising the Lord, just worshiping the Lord, just into the things of the Spirit. And the Spirit came down. I don't know if anyone else got the baptism that night, but I got the baptism that night. And I kicked Sister Wanamaker 3 or 4 times, she told me the next day. Because as the Spirit of the Lord came down, he knocked me on the ground. And I was in the Spirit. It was very interesting. I was out for maybe two, three hours when I couldn't get up. They had to carry me back to the lean-to. I was drunk in the Spirit. I couldn't walk. They had to carry me back. And as I was laying there, receiving the baptism, I was speaking in tongues, but my mind was thinking, "You're not doing this." I'm saying, "I'm not doing this. This is, you're not saying these words." It was the Spirit of God coming upon us and coming through us. And there is a divine aspect about the power that we have as Pentecostals that if we're not careful, and we've heard it repeated time and time again, that we can lose it. If you're Spirit-filled, you should speak in tongues every day. If you're Spirit-filled, you should covet spiritual gifts. If you are baptized with the Spirit, you should be looking to God to prophesy, to give words of knowledge, to give message in tongues, to interpret tongues. It says covet. Now, that's a strong word. Covet spiritual gifts. I think that we have the tendency to sort of lay back, as we've heard, especially whether we're old or whether we're young. But if you're Spirit-filled, you have an obligation to the generations that are around us to demonstrate Pentecost to them by you participating in the things of God, by you having a deeper walk with God. and speaking in tongues, being able to pray in tongues, being able to get a word from God, being able to give a word to a person. It's tremendous. When you're moving in the realm of the Holy Spirit, what God will do through you and with you. You'll meet someone, and that person will say, listen, I just feel impressed that you're having a problem. And the Spirit of God will give you what that problem is. And if you can do it in a very unchallenging way, listen, I'd like to pray for you. God just spoke to me about you, that you have a need. And in so doing, you'll be surprised how many people will open up and allow you to minister to them. And it's all done through the dynamics of the Holy Spirit of God. And I think that's so very important for us to recognize, that being Spirit-filled is not just a one-time. Being filled is not just a one-time experience, but is a continuation. It is a continuous infilling. As you take the time, as you wait upon the Lord. As I said, I was fortunate from the experiences I had up here at camp, and then also being in Ridgewood, to see how the ministry and how the flow of the Holy Spirit took place and the things. And when I went to school, I was in services where there was an aroma of heaven. The silence came upon a student body of about 250, 300 young people. And as we sat there, literally a perfume of heaven came and just moved through that place. God will do supernatural things, if we expect it, if we come believing him for it. What is your expectancy? What is your expectant level? In the church that I pastored, was a large church, and so when Benny Hinn came to the Meadowlands some years back, we were one of the sponsoring churches, and I was on the platform and so forth and so on, and I watched what he did, they bring people up from the congregation, and he lays hands and they fall down, and he interviews them, and I noticed something. God spoke to me. He said, look, Benny Hinn doesn't heal anybody. Benny Hinn doesn't. All he does is interview people. Do you know where the healing takes place? In the seats. Because there is a tremendous spirit of worship. There is we would worship for about an hour, and then people will begin to get healed. Come on, church. What do you say to that? I don't think you get better worship than here, but are we believing for that? Are we believing for that supernatural visitation of the Holy Spirit as we worship the Lord and believing God to be for people to be healed, to be set free, and having God move and do great and mighty things? And God taught me a lesson. And I've said this to my congregation time and time again. Come expecting. And that's the reason. The people that came to that meeting came expecting. The people that came to Catherine Kuhlman's meeting came expecting. The people that came to Oral Roberts' meeting came expecting. If you look at the evangelists over Brother Branham, all of these men, Jack Cole, as a kid, my mother and father drugged me to all of these things. And I saw it. But the people came expecting. What did you expect tonight? Did you expect God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit? Did you expect God to refill you in the Holy Spirit? Did you expect God to heal you? Hey, be it according to your faith. Be it according to your faith. If we would just develop that within us, that every time we get together, every time there's a service, every time that we have an opportunity to believe God for great and mighty things, we're living in a great and a great time where the Spirit of God is being poured out around the world. We hear about it. Brother Ron talked about what's happening amongst the Muslim. Blew me away. I tell you, it's fabulous. And that's just a sign of the times that we're living in. But we need to develop. We need to develop that expectancy of God doing great and mighty things. Yes. And as I said, I've just enjoyed my time here so much, being refreshed. I'm an itinerant minister. My wife and I, we don't have a church anymore. And so usually I'm in anywhere from 30 to 40 churches every year. And you got to go a long way to get what Ridgewood has and what the Fellowship Churches has in worship. We might find one or two churches in a whole year where we say, well, we'd like to go back there. But if we're not careful, if we don't prize this, if we don't exercise this, if we don't exercise our speaking in tongues, if we don't exercise our faith, if we don't exercise our belief in God for great and mighty things, little by little, it will fade away, because we've seen it happen time and time again. At one time, the Methodists were on fire. One time, the Presbyterians were on fire. And where are they today? And we don't have anything that exempts us. But it has to be you and I. It has to be each and every one of us coming with a spirit and a heart of faith and say, Lord, you're able to do greater things. Greater things. Greater things. I don't know if some of you weren't around. I was at a meeting when Uncle Hans was preaching. And he told a story. It stayed with me so many years. He was a Sunday school teacher somewhere, and he had gotten a rabbit, and he was going to use it for an illustration. And when he woke up on Sunday morning, he had no food for the rabbit. And if you know Ridgewood, back in those days, back in the 40s, whenever it was, took place, everything was closed. Sundays, nothing was opened. And so Uncle Hans went out looking for something in down on Myrtle Avenue, wherever it was, looking around, trying to find something to feed that rabbit. And he couldn't. And he stood on some street, and he mentioned it, but that name is long since gone. And he bowed his head, and he prayed. He said, "Lord," he said, "forgive me. I have not made provision for this rabbit. I need you to provide for this rabbit." When he opened his eyes, there was a head of lettuce at his feet.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, can God do that?
Yes. Yeah.
You see, you know, the expectancy. He expected, and God provided.
Yes.
You know, you hear stories like that where God has done supernatural things time and time again. Why? Because people had an expectant hearts. And so this is not what I had planned for tonight, but it'll suffice. I think it goes along with what we've been doing. Do you have an expectant heart? Are you expecting a heart? Let me close with a story. I'm known for my stories. A young lady was called into the principal's office. And principal said, "Listen, we have a class of rowdy kids. They're so bad we can't do anything. We're going to put them all in one class. We want you to be the teacher." And scared her half to death. She said, just keep them quiet. Just keep them out of the way, you know. And they were discussing this, and he was called out of the room. And she looked down, and she saw a folder with that class on it. And she looked at it, and there, you know, she saw, you know, the IQs of all these kids. And so, and they were big, good IQs, you know. So she DC'd them. Well, these kids are this smart. They can do well. So she got those kids in those class, and she really beat on them and worked with them and really motivated them and really moved upon them to be the best they could. And sure enough, at the end of the year, her class was the best class. They won all the awards and so forth and so on. And it really went well. And so the principal called her in and was talking to her and said, "Listen, I want to thank you. You did a great job with that class. I'm really impressed on your hard work." And so, and the teacher said, "Well, sorry, you know, I can't really take all the credit." He said, "Well, yes, you can. You really..." No, I can't really take all the credit." He said, why can't you take the credit?" He said, "Well, I saw, you know, you had a pink folder on your desk, and I saw their IQs." He says, "You saw their IQs in the pink folder." He turned around, and he pulled the folder out. He said, "You're talking about this folder?" He says, "Yeah, that's it." He said, "That's not their IQs. That's their locker numbers." But she had an expectation. She had an expectation. Let's begin to believe God for great and mighty things. Can you say amen?
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.